This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. Connecticut overhauled its jury selection system, but racial disparities remain.
Despite all of the state's efforts to kind of reform its jury selection process in the past 4 years and its attempts to diversify the ranks of jurors in Connecticut, the state is really at a starting point.
That's Andrew Brown, the Connecticut Mirror's investigative reporter. He and fellow Connecticut Mirror reporters Jenna Colesso and Renata Dow have done a deep dive into state data that shows minorities still underrepresented on Connecticut's juries 4 years after the state increased the number of people who receive summons. More to come after this.
Whether you order a grinder or a hero for lunch, spend summers on the Sound or on Jones Beach, and I'm not even going near the pizza debate, there's something for nutmeggers and Long Islanders alike on the WSHU podcast, After All Things. Get the news and culture from around the Long Island Sound in less than 15 minutes. Hosted by me, Sabrina Garone. Weeknights wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Andrew. In 2020, Connecticut expanded who is eligible to serve on a jury and increased the number of people who receive jury summons in the state's largest cities. So why does data show that minority communities are still underrepresented on Connecticut juries?
So I think the reason for that is that for most of its history, Connecticut really didn't look or analyze who made up juries in Connecticut, whether it's criminal or civil cases. And so despite all of the state's efforts to kind of reform its jury selection process in the past 4 years and its attempts to diversify the ranks of jurors in Connecticut, the state is really at a starting point. This is a brand new effort. And so I think that is why you're still seeing some underrepresentation of Hispanic and Black jurors in Connecticut in some of its judicial districts.
Now, the fact that we decided to expand the pool and increase minority participation was also the reason why we now have this data that we can look at.
That's correct. The state Supreme Court back in 2020, under former Chief Justice Robinson, appointed a task force to kind of look at every aspect of how the state selects jurors and how they find their way, you know, into a courtroom. And as part of that, they did all the things you just said, trying to make sure that people from Connecticut's largest cities, where, you know, you have majority minority populations, are able to be on juries. And at the same time, they essentially asked the legislature, and the legislature agreed to start collecting this demographic information on the tens of thousands of people who receive a jury summons every year.
What do the numbers show? You looked at several districts, including the Stamford-Norwalk Judicial District. What do these numbers show us?
It's hard to have a barometer, right, because we don't have historical data. So we can't say whether Connecticut is doing better now or maybe worse now. I suspect it is doing probably better than historically, simply because of the changes that the task force made. But the data shows that if you look at a statewide perspective, the representation of white, Black, Asian, Hispanic jurors, if you look statewide, is actually pretty good and representative of the population. But what we did is we looked at individual judicial districts, right? Hartford, Stamford, there's 13 judicial districts in the state. And we looked at the populations of those regions compared to the jury pools that are assembled in those court systems. And what it showed is that in places like Stamford, there were slight underrepresentations of Black jurors. In Hartford, there were slight underrepresentations of Hispanic jurors. And in places like the Windham Judicial District up in the northeast corner, there was also a underrepresentation of Hispanic jurors. So it's really hard to say, you know, and kind of put this into context, because Connecticut is one of the first states to really look at this data and grapple with it in a very public way like this. So we don't have a great comparison to make, but the data clearly shows that there is some room for improvement if the state's stated goal is to make sure that, you know, jury pools are representative of the population as a whole.
Now, you give us an example of a very high-profile case that kind of illustrates what we're talking about here. This was a case that happened in 2009. And you talked with Shirin Bryant, who watches an all-white jury acquitted a white police detective who shot and killed her 18-year-old brother, Jason, in the north end of Hartford. Could you just tell us a little bit about that case?
Yeah, we went back to that time frame because we didn't have names of criminal defendants currently who faced a jury trial, right? That was still kind of protected under the state's laws as far as looking at this jury data. So we wanted to emphasize the importance of why the state undertook this effort to begin with. And my colleague Jenna Carlesso at her time at the Hartford Courant remembered that case of Bryant being shot and killed in the north end of Hartford. And, you know, what that all-white jury in that case really led to, which was a severe amount of distrust in the judicial system. And so that's why we highlighted that, you know, even to this point, Jashawn's sister, you know, she still doesn't trust the judicial system because of the image of that all-white jury essentially refusing to convict the police officer who killed her brother.
Basically, members of that jury were interviewed, and they did not think that there was anything wrong with the verdict.
Yeah, they at the time, the Hartford Courant, other news outlets really covered that trial, and the jurors themselves afterwards essentially said, like, the racial factor did not play into this. That being said, it, as Chief Justice, former Chief Justice Robinson and some law professors pointed out, it doesn't really matter if it had a real practical effect. If it has an effect of sowing distrust in the judicial system and the jury system, then you still have a problem, whether it's perceived or real. And, you know, academic research, as we pointed out in the story, has shown that when you have juries that are diverse in race and ethnicity, research has shown that there is better consideration of the evidence in the case, and then there is more and more thorough deliberation in many cases. So there are reasons to have diverse juries outside of just the image in a courtroom of maybe an all-white jury sitting in judgment of someone who is of a different race.
The judicial branch is aware of this information. Are there any steps being taken? Because the last time they broadened the pool by including people with permanent residency, for instance. Is there a move to broaden it even more?
One of the things in particular that we wrote about in the story that the Judicial Department has been asking for that they hope will improve diversity of juries is juror pay. The task force actually recommended that juror pay in Connecticut be considered an increase in juror pay, mostly because, you know, research has shown that people who are of a lower income status can either be excused from jury service or opt out, you know, once they even before they show up to court.
What do you get paid for serving on a jury in Connecticut right now?
The first several days, I believe first 5 days of your jury service is supposed to be covered by your employer. But if you're unemployed, you only get $50 per day, which, as we pointed out in the story, is way below what the minimum wage even is in Connecticut if you're working a 40-hour week. So Connecticut is, research has, you know, compared to other states, is doing pretty well in juror pay. But researchers have pointed out that's largely because juror pay has been kind of shoved to the side nationally for a long, long time. And so the compensation of jurors today is extremely low. It's seen as a duty, not as a, you know, I guess that they don't want to compensate to a large degree. But if you were trying to entice and get people in the door who have a, you know, a minimum wage job and are maybe working two jobs, you have to consider the pay and you know, what it would do to, you know, if they can't afford to essentially serve on a jury.
So, Andrew, is there legislation in the works here? What is the judicial branch trying to, how is the judicial branch trying to get that done?
The judicial branch has asked the legislature in several consecutive sessions to actually increase juror pay, and not just pay, but also consider reimbursement for things like child care, family care, increased travel expense reimbursement. The legislature has not taken that up, though. You know, it's proposed in bills and quickly stripped out, or that bill doesn't advance. The legislature staff has estimated it would cost several million dollars to implement that per year. And so with that price tag, even though $1 million, $3 million in the grand scheme of the state budget isn't a huge thing, it just has not gained traction.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udama, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.